Music for wind instruments by Edward Elgar, his Six Promenades, performed there by the Athena Ensemble. I'm Ward Jacobson.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone. We're local investigators, as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists, share their latest evidence in support of the UAP reality. I'm David Twitchell, and for the next hour, we'll be exploring the mysteries of the UFO, UAP, and abduction phenomenon. Our guest today is Dan Harari. Dan is a veteran Hollywood publicist, author, podcast host, and chairman of the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance. While best known for his 40 plus years of work in Hollywood as an entertainment industry publicist and owner of the boutique Asbury PR agency in Beverly Hills, Dan is also the author of the popular 2022 book, Flirting with Fame, a Hollywood publicist recalls 50 years of celebrity close encounters. Dan's second book, After They Came, made an immediate impact within the UFO research community during 2023. The success of the book allowed Dan to personally befriend many of the world's leading UFO researchers and experts. Dan's next two books, My Paranormal Life, Supernatural Stories from a Hollywood Insider, and Five, will both be released during June of 2024. Dan's long-held interest in the UFO phenomena has led to his having conceived the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance, which officially launched in November of 2023. So I'm happy to have him on the show today. Hello, Dan.
Hi, David. Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, every time I hear my bio, I'm like, you know, when did I do all those things? When did I sleep and when did I eat? It sounds like a lot, but yeah, that's me.
Yeah, I asked Dan for a bio to so I could properly introduce him, and he sent me a tome that I had to pare down. So what you hear, so feel free to fill those credentials in if you want to, Dan.
Sure, that's very sweet. Well, primarily, and I really appreciate being on your show, David. We definitely want to talk about Contact in the Desert,
Oh,
which
yeah.
is coming up. I am the publicist for Contact in the Desert, and I am also, as the head of the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance, doing a panel, hosting a panel there, and we will have a booth there when a lot of celebrities will be there to meet fans and sign autographs. I will do one night there. I'll be doing my podcast, which is called Live from Hollywood. It's Paranormal Tonight. I'll be interviewing Ron James. You probably know who Ron James is.
Oh, yes.
He's a client of mine. He produced Accidental Truth. He's working on the sequel right now called Accidental Truth Next.
Ah,
And
well, if
on
I may
the.
interrupt you,
Oh, sure.
when you talk to Mr. James, tell him to answer my emails.
I will be talking to him literally in an hour and 45 minutes from right now. After this, and then if I eat lunch real quick, I'm talking to Ron at 2 o'clock.
Okay, go
And
ahead.
then the last day of contact. So contact in the desert is May 30th through June 3. May 30 through June 3. It's at a beautiful resort in Indian Wells, California, called the Renaissance Resort. The nearest airport is Palm Springs. Get tickets now because they're going fast. Contactinthedesert.com. Tickets are for sale. We have over 70, I believe we have 73, which is incredible. 73 of the major top UFO researchers, ET experts, consciousness authors, AI specialists. It's going to be a really remarkable event. The last day of that show, June 3rd, I'm doing a 90-minute talk, which we could talk about today a bit, called Why I Believe My Father Was Involved with UFOs for the Military, because I discovered after my father died who he was. I didn't know who he was when he was alive. And when I found out who my father was, I was inspired to write my book After They Came, my sci-fi book.
I see.
So all of these things are interwoven in my life, but please tell your audience to check out contactinthedesert.com.
Okay. I didn't realize there are that many guest speakers in my head. Are you going to have time for them all?
It's jam packed. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Was that 5 days? Thursday, five days, five jam packed days. Every day there's lectures, panels, workshops, intensives. For example, my friend Stephen Bassett is doing an intensive. That's essentially a 90 minutes. You sit in a room with Steve Bassett, and he's going to be in there with maybe 10 or 12 people, and it's anything you want to know about disclosure. You ask him questions, he'll tell you what's going on. He'll reveal things that he's not going to tell other people in the general public. The producers, all right, so the producers of Contact in the Desert are Ron Janix and Gordon Pekrell. They are my clients. They acquired the show last year from a woman named Victoria, who I never met Victoria. Victoria conceived it and ran it for 9 years. Last year, Ron Janix and Gordon Pekrell bought it. And they produced the first show, which was their first show, which was last June. And I had just met Stephen Bassett a few weeks before, so he invited me to be his guest, and I went last year, and it was remarkable. If you are into the UFO phenomenon and you want to meet Richard Dolan and Nick Pope and Carolyn Corey and Whitley Strieber and George Norrie and George Knapp and all these, Steve Bassett, all these people, they're all there. And Paul Hynek, they're all there, and they're very approachable. No one is like, "Don't touch me, I'm a movie star." They're all there to spread their knowledge and their expertise and their opinions. So I had a great time there last year, and now this, and it's funny. Last year, my book had just come out. I had just met Steve Bassett. No one, David, no one knew me. I knew everyone because of Ancient Aliens and all the documentaries and all the TV and studying I've been doing for 20 years, but not one person there knew who I was. Now, 1 year later, exactly, between my book, me and Stephen creating the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance, my podcast, and me being the publicist for Contact in the Desert, 1 year later now, everyone knows me. Richard Dolan, I'm interviewing him Thursday night. Nick Pope is one of my best friends. Steve Bassett is like my older brother. George, Ron Janik's, owner of Contact. We have lunch. He's like my brother. It's remarkable how, and just in the past year, for whatever reason, I just swooped in and got absorbed into this whole world.
Yeah. Well, that is great. That is great. And I understand you have had your own UFO sightings in the past. Is that right?
I've had three. I've
Three.
had three. And I could go through those quickly for you.
Please.
Okay, so I grew up just outside Asbury Park, New Jersey. My parents were from Brooklyn. They married in Brooklyn. They moved to Asbury Park in the early 50s. I was born in 56, and I was raised just outside of, it's called West Deal, just outside of Asbury Park. And everyone knows Asbury Park today because it's where Bruce Springsteen got discovered. And Bruce got famous. Well, I knew Bruce Springsteen in 1973. I had long hair. I was a drummer. I used to work at a concert hall on the Asbury Park boardwalk. And I knew Bruce Springsteen before he was famous. I worked with him. And that's my book, Flirting with Fame. So that's if anybody wants my Bruce Springsteen and Jerry Seinfeld and Steven Spielberg and Mel Brooks and Alice Cooper and Hugh Hefner and all the celebrities I've worked with, that's my Flirting with Fame book. So now to answer your question. So I grew up on the Jersey Shore. My father was an electronics engineer and a physicist for Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, which was a an army base. He was a civilian physicist who worked at Fort Monmouth Army Base, 1951 to 1996. Okay, keep that in mind. So now here's where my story begins. In March 1970, my dad picked me up one day from school, and he was driving me home, the suburban New Jersey neighborhood where I grew up. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, daylight. I'm in my father's car. I'm almost 14. I'm actually 13 and a half. So I'm almost 14, March 1970. My dad's driving me home. I look through the windshield of my father's car. I look up in the sky. There's a huge UFO hovering up right above my father's car. It was a silver V, like letter V, like Victor, shiny silver V craft hovering like a butterfly above my father's car, maybe a few hundred feet in the air. Not moving, no smoke, no propellers, just hovering. I go, Dad, stop the car. Dad, stop the car. Dad, there's a UFO. Dad, stop the car. There's a UFO. My dad pulls the car over to the side. We get out. We walk in front of the car. I'm literally, Dad, look. I'm jumping up and down. Dad, because I remember doing this. Dad, look. Look, Dad, it's a UFO. Isn't this cool? Dad, isn't this cool? David, my father looked at it like this.
This is radio.
Okay, so my dad looked at it for a second. Then he's looking at his watch. He's looking at his shoes. He's whistling. He's looking at his car, thinking, you know, I really should get the car washed. My father had no reaction to a major UFO hanging above his head.
Wow.
Okay, now that's the whole crux of my life, that story, many, many years later. My dad had no reaction to that. I was jumping up and down. So after a few minutes, my dad said, come on, kid, let's go home. We go home. I run into the kitchen in my house, rotary telephone, if anyone remembers rotary phone. And I'm calling the Asbury Park Press newspaper, my hometown paper. Hi, my name is Danny. I'm 14. I just saw a UFO with my father. And the lady said, David, sonny, I can't talk to you right now. We're getting hundreds of phone calls about this.
Wow.
I can't talk to you. I remember clear as day. She said that to me. She hung up. No article ever ran in the newspaper.
Oh,
I looked every day for that week. Nothing ran.
no.
I forgot that that event happened in my life for 47 years. 47 years. Completely forgot. Why did I forget? I was a drummer. I was growing my hair long. My friends and I were chasing girls. I was in rock bands. I was working with Bruce Springsteen and Kiss and Fleetwood Mac and Humble Pie and Jay Giles and Deep Purple. I was working with the biggest rock bands in the world. After school, I used to ride my bike to this concert hall. I never got paid there, but it was a fun time. So rock and roll. I was drummer, drums, girls, rock and roll. I never thought twice about that UFO. That didn't ever come back into my brain.
Wow.
Now we jump the story ahead. 1996. Now I'm living in California. I had been married. I'd been divorced. I have two young kids. My ex-wife and my two young kids moved to Lancaster, California, which is about 2.5 hours northeast of Los Angeles. When I got divorced, that's where my ex-wife and took my kids. I saw my kids every single weekend for the whole time they were small. I never missed a weekend. So my ex-wife lived in Lancaster, California, near Edwards Air Force Base. Keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. In May 1996, my son turned eight, Jordan. My son turned eight. He wanted a telescope for his birthday. Got him a telescope, brought it out for that weekend, stayed with my kids that weekend. And on his birthday, he and I are looking up at the sky with the telescope. And, you know, you see the moon and Mars and Saturn and all the cool stuff you see with a telescope. And as we were about to pack it in, he was in his little pajamas. He was 8 years old. And we were going to go into the house. Right before we went into the house, in the far right-hand corner of the sky, an object turned on its light. And it was sort of yellow-white color, egg-shaped yellow-white color thing. In the far right-hand corner of the sky, turned on, and then it just suddenly, quickly, went in a straight line, very quickly, but visibly, all across the entirety of the sky, from one end of the sky to the other end of the sky, straight line. Mm-hmm. And I said, Jordan, look, there's a satellite. It was clearly, you could see it was metallic, and you could, and the way it was so perfectly straight, it could only have been a satellite. So, David, so now the object stops in the left part of the sky. It stops for 30 seconds. It stops there. It stops. And I thought, oh, my God, that satellite's going to crash to Earth. Something's terribly wrong. Honest to God, I thought it was going to just plummet.
All right.
30 seconds, it stopped. Then it reversed course, and it went back all the way it came from in the same exact line. Oh, and then wow. and then it vanished. Okay, well, that's not a missile. That's not a missile, comet, asteroid, meteor, airplane, helicopter.
Right. Right.
It could only have been, an ET UFO, a man-made UFO, or possibly a drone. So I've told that story all over the world. Jimmy Church, who's a friend of mine, he said, Dan, you were near Edwards Air Force Base. They test man-made military craft using reverse engineered technology from Edwards. He goes, so what you saw was probably a military craft using ET tech. And I said, Jimmy, I think you're absolutely right. That's just a feeling, David. There's no way to know. But just think the fact that it was stopped in place, it just stopped, completely stopped, wasn't moving at all, and then it went back. Whatever that was, I felt that they were testing something.
What would you estimate the height was on that?
Oh, I suck at that. 1,000 feet, 2,000 feet. It was fairly high. It was enough to see clearly, but it was pretty high. It wasn't low to the ground. It was pretty high up there.
But still not as high as a passenger plane?
I think a passenger plane would have been much higher. Okay. I think it was lower. I think it was a few thousand feet. It was enough that you could see it clearly without really like looking past. It wasn't past the clouds. It was underneath.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been a satellite either.
Well, you know, you think it's a satellite when you don't know. I didn't know. What did I know?
And then if you're judging the height and if it's lower than an airplane.
My instant gut was that it was a satellite because of its brightness, its shape, and the way it traveled. Right. Clearly, it was not.
Right.
Okay. All right. So we have the 1970. We have 1996. Now my story jumps ahead to the year 2007. 2007, I went to a bookstore waiting for a friend for to go see a movie. He was late and I was early. So I went to a bookstore and I found the paranormal books aisle. 2007, I think I'm, so what am I, 51 or 60? I think I'm 51 at the time. I always forget how old I am. And I saw all these books, paranormal books, right? Chariots of the Gods, Richard Dolan's books, Zachariah Sitchin, Betty and Barney Hill by Kathleen Martin. Sure. All these, Stanton Friedman. And then books on the crop circles and Bigfoot and the pyramids and the petroglyphs and all book after book after book. And David, I'd never seen any of these in my life. I'm like, Wow, where has all this knowledge been my whole life? I didn't know it was there. I bought like 12, 15 books. I don't even remember. I bought as many books as I could carry that day. I went home, I read all the books. In my readings, I learned about MUFON. I didn't know MUFON. I didn't know what MUFON was in 2007. I joined MUFON. So MUFON has chapters all over the country. I believe maybe all over the world, but in every state, I know there's at least one or two or three MUFON chapters. So I joined MUFON Los Angeles in 2007. My very first MUFON meeting, Giorgio Tsoukalos was the guest speaker. Now, Giorgio, we all know with the crazy black hair, he's the star of Ancient Aliens. He created it and produced it. He's the mentee of Eric Von Daniken. Well, in 2007, Ancient Aliens did not yet exist. This is 2 years before that show existed. He was not famous. So I go there, probably 50 people in the room, little church, and he's doing Ancient Alien theory for 90 minutes. Slides and movies and lecturing about the pyramids and the crop circles and Nazca lines and the petroglyphs and the cave drawings and Roswell and Kenneth Arnold and Betty and Barney and Travis Walton and one after the next, after the next, things that he'd studied under Eric Von Daniken. So David, I'm like this. I'm like,
Just
oh
like
my. I was mesmerized. I was mesmerized. I'm like, oh my God, I'm a grown man. Where has all this knowledge been my whole life? I knew none of these things. I really did. Not from my parents, not from my rabbi when I was a little kid in Hebrew school, not from my teachers, not from my friends. I knew none of this information. At the end of 90 minutes of Giorgio, I go up to him. I shook his hand. I go, Giorgio, you literally just changed my entire view of the world. You changed my worldview just now. And he goes, cool, cool, man. That's cool. I remember. So, and I've met Giorgio many, many times since then. So that was my exposure to MUFON. A year later, 2008, another MUFON meeting. Do you know the name James Gilliland?
Yes.
Okay. So,
It's on my show once.
oh yeah, very nice man. Summer of 2008, I have a girlfriend at the time named Barbara. She's a TV writer. So she and I went to a meeting there. James Gilliland owns the Eseti Ranch, Eceti Ranch, in Washington State at the base of Mount Adams. Now, Mount Adams is part of the mountain range that includes Mount Rainier, where Kenneth Arnold saw nine UFOs in June 1947. I think Mount Adams is the next mountain down in the same range. So James Gilliland does a lecture at MUFON meeting, and he said, I owned Eseti Ranch. It wasn't called Eseti then. And it's a world-famous hotspot. He goes, if you want to see UFOs, you come to my ranch. And he's showing movies and photos and videos. And David, I was like, wow, unreal, unreal, the quality of videos that he was showing of UFOs in his essentially over his backyard. I'm going to guess 150 acres. I'm going to guess. I don't know. He had so, and then he said, "I'm having an open house, 3 day weekend open house, July 4th weekend, 2008. Come up to my place. I'll host you, and we can look at the sky." I said, "Barbara, my girlfriend." I go, "Barbara," and she was like, "Not into UFO." I go, "Please, can we go? Can we go? Please, can we go? I got to see this. I got to go there." She said, "Okay, we'll go." So Barbara and I went. We spent 3 days at James Gilliland's ranch. During the days, he had a big white tent, and under the tent were people like Nick Pope and William Henry and maybe David Childress. I don't remember exactly. And they gave lectures and panels and seminars and films about everything Giorgio had talked about, you know, the pyramids, the crop circles, the Nazca lines, Roswell, all the great stuff that we all love during the daytime. And then at night on the field, James's land is mostly just an empty field. They built a bonfire on the field, a big bonfire, and people were playing guitars and tambourines and singing and dancing around the bonfire. So Friday during the day was lectures, film, seminars. Friday night, we go in the field at night with the bonfire, and we're looking up at the sky, crystal clear sky, and you could see Mount Adams in the distance. And you're looking up, absolutely nothing. I think we saw a satellite go by. That was a real satellite. Someone said there's a satellite. I think someone said there's this space station. If I just remembered that just now, I think someone said that's the space station. Okay, fine. Next day, Saturday, lectures, film, seminars, Nick Pope, whoever it was, bonfire, go out in the field at night looking up at the sky, hours and hours and hours, David, absolutely nothing. Yep. Now, you know this. When you look up at the sky for 6 hours straight, your neck kind of gets a crick, like it kind of hurts after. So now the last day comes, Sunday, the last day of that weekend, July 2008. Go in the tent, lectures, film, seminars again. Go out in the field at night, bonfire, looking up at the sky, hours and hours, at least 2, 3 hours, looking up, absolutely nothing. I reach my hand in my pocket. I pull out my car keys. I go, Barbara, if we leave right now, we can beat the rush because there's probably 250 cars on the property there. The second, David, I pulled out my car keys in my hand, a black craft from nowhere came 300 feet, let's say, over us and stopped right over us, 250, 200, 250 people over the bonfire, just stopped in the sky right over us. It was black, jet black. I don't know how big it was. I don't know the shape because it was black against the black sky. And I'm looking up and I'm like, what was that? And it was there for maybe 20 seconds. And then underneath this craft, in the middle of it, underneath was a glass, like I'm going to call it a glass crystal bulb, a large glass crystal bulb that lit up bright, beautiful, bright, dark emerald green light color. It lit up like that. And then from that glass bulb, it then beamed down over all of us. It bathed the 250 people in green, emerald green light. And it was like, blah, 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 like light, light. I know it's radio. Light, light. No sound, no noise, no sound, just the light. It was like someone turning on and off a light
Yeah,
switch.
so it's blinking, yeah.
But David, it was almost, in retrospect, people have said, Dan, it's like Morse code. I'm like, yeah. It was like, so it's like light, 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 light,
Ah,
light. It was
what?
like a, okay. So we're standing there. Now I'm crying. I'm crying because I know in my heart, this is not a Chinese weather balloon. These are extraterrestrials that are communicating with me and these other. I know it in my heart, and I would swear on a stack of Bibles, this is not man-made. These were not Americans horsing around. These were extraterrestrials who in that craft. I know it.
Wow.
The message I got, and I still feel it in my heart to this day, the message I got was, "Hello, we're here. We're sorry we're late. We know you've been waiting for 3 days. We got tied up, but here we are. We wanted to say hello. We're in the neighborhood. Everything's fine. Don't be afraid. We love you. We love mankind. Be kind to one and love one another. Love the planet Earth. We'll see you another time."
Yeah,
That's the message I got from that.
they were probably communicating telepathically. That's the way they communicate.
That's what people have said, and I do believe that. But the only, oh, anyway, so then the light turned off, David, and then the craft slowly moved away, and then bang, zoom, gone over Mount Adams. Okay.
Wow.
Now, so I felt if it was telepathic, it was in my heart. Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't like in my brain.
Right.
It wasn't, I was hearing words like, I love you, where people, it was, I was feeling it emotionally. I still feel it to this day. It's 2008. That was my third and last UFO sighting. So that was profound. And really, we were all crying. People were crying and hugging and kissing. So that's that. Now, my story jumps ahead again. 2017. Okay,
Excuse
I'm sorry.
yeah, I need to take a break to remind our listeners, but hold that thought, please.
Okay, sure.
Remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to We Are Not Alone. I'm David Twitchell, your host, and we're speaking with Mr. Dan Harary, and he is the well, he wears so many hats that it would be too long for me to say, but he's an experiencer, and at least as to sightings are concerned. And he's with the Contact in the Desert, which is coming up on the end of May. So we'll plug that again before the end of the show. But go ahead with your last sighting was the
Okay, so
probably triangulars. Probably triangular shape, do you think?
the black craft with the green
Yeah,
light.
yeah.
If I had to absolutely guess, probably it
Yeah.
was pretty large.
Yeah.
So, David, it was pretty large and pretty low to the ground.
Yeah.
But I could not, it was black again. I wish, God, I really do wish I had seen the
Yeah,
shape. The it was
because
black against black, you know.
right, because the triangular shaped crafts tend to have, according to witness reports, seem to have that white bulbous light directly in the center underneath.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if you didn't see the edges, it may well have been triangular in shape.
Okay, so that makes perfect sense. I could tell that the green emerald green light bulb was in the center, like under, it was definitely underneath the craft, and it probably was the center of the craft. So let's call it a black triangle, honest to God, because you can't see black against the black sky.
Right,
It
that's
just
right.
could. Okay.
But
All right,
go ahead, Dr. Scott.
so now my story jumped ahead to 2017. In April 2017, my father passed away. My father had retired. He was with his second wife in Florida. He had worked for the U.S. Army for 45 years. He retired with his wife, very happy in Florida. He had a bad end with very terrible Alzheimer's and didn't know me at the end, and it was had a not good end. So April 2017, he passed away. And I'm in Los Angeles. So my father's wife called, said, "Your dad's gone." So I went to a deli to get a pastrami sandwich and think about my dad. And actually, it was probably 3 days later. It was a couple of days. That wasn't the same day. A couple of days, my dad died. Go to a deli, get a pastrami sandwich, think about my dad. All I wanted to do was be alone and just miss my father. That was my goal for that day. Now my life turned. Now my life changes dramatically. Okay, I'm sitting there, David. I order my pastrami sandwich. As I'm sitting there, and God is my witness, this is a true story. I'm sitting there at the deli. A beam of light or beam of energy from above, bang into my head. From above, bang into my head, right side of my head, projects through my brain, through my eyes, into the air. About 10 inches from my eyes into the air, a holocolor hologram home movie of the 1970 UFO sighting I had with my father. It played, I swear to you, this is true. It played in the air like a home movie. It played. I'm watching this. I'm thinking, oh my God, I remember that. I remember when that happened. Now, what's interesting, this home movie wasn't from my point of view, it was almost like God had a cameraman in front of us about 20 feet away, because I saw my dad's car, me and my dad, I'm jumping up and down, and the craft in the sky. And the point of view of this whole movie was like Cecil B. DeMille had a camera, 50 feet, 20 feet away, recording. So I watched it, and I watched it, and I'm like, oh my God, this is inc what's happening? This is incredible. Wow, this is fantastic. At the end of the video, I saw my father wink at me in the video. My father winked at me, and then he said, it was the audio at the end. He said, "Come on, let's go home." I heard that part. So now this video goes away. 30 seconds, 40 seconds, plays, stops. Now I'm like shaking. I'm like, what was that? Right? Then I had the idea, I need a pen. I asked my waiter for a pen, gave me a pen. At the deli in front of me on the table was a paper placemat. I took the pen. My hand wrote, not me, my hand wrote these three sentences. Write a book about benevolent aliens. Lead character's father knew about UFOs. Capital A, capital T, capital C. And then my hand stopped moving. Okay. It's called automatic writing. I've never done it before or since. my hand wrote those. I did not. So now I'm looking at the paper. I'm like, what is that? All I want is a pastrami sandwich. What is happening here? So, David, I'm staring, ATC, ATC, ATC. And it came to me after they came. Mm. After they came. It's the name of my book.
Right.
It's the name of my book. So write a book about benevolent aliens. Well, that's what my book is about.
Mm-hmm.
Lead character's father knew about UFOs. Well, I figured I'm the lead character, and my dead father must have known about UFOs because he just gave me a whole movie from heaven.
Yeah.
And then ATC, after they came, is the title of the book. I finally get my pastrami sandwich. I inhaled it in 2 seconds. I drove home. And then for the next 8 months, I wrote my book, After They Came.
This is a novel, right?
It's a science fiction novel. Yeah. Now, I wrote the book 2017, 2018, and then it took me years to get a publishing deal. It was published March 1st, 2023. While I was researching the book, I discovered the following things. One, I called my mother, who's still alive. She'll be 90. I said, Mom, when you were married to Dad for all those years, did Dad ever talk about aliens or UFOs? She goes, your father worked for Fort Monmouth Army Base. And in the early 50s, listen to this story, David. In the early 50s, they took your father into the vaults, deep into the vaults at Fort Monmouth, and they showed him something top secret. She said he came home. He was pale and shaking and nervous. And she said, honey, what's wrong? And my father said to my mother, I saw something today I can never tell you as long as I live. My father never told a soul what he saw that day.
Mm.
Now, if you know the Jackie Gleason story with Richard Nixon, do you know that story?
Right.
Jackie Gleason's wife said Jackie Gleason was never the same after he saw dead alien bodies that Richard Nixon showed him.
Mm.
Okay, that's one piece of the puzzle. So then I researched my father's workplace. My father worked at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. So I researched Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. I never looked into it when I was a kid. I just knew that's where my dad worked. Fort Monmouth helped with the Manhattan Project. They helped. They have over 4,000 patents of communications and electronics weaponry and equipment for the U.S. military. Over 4,000 patents. It was a top military research base, one of America's leading research bases. It was the first base in the U.S. to detect Sputnik in 1957.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. My dad worked there for 45 years. Now, in Richard Dolan's book, UFOs and the National Security State, at the end of that book, there's a listing of UFO sightings over military bases in America. In 1951 and again in 1952, there were major UFO sightings over Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. That's exactly when my father started working there.
Mm.
He had to have heard about those.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the killer. Oh, two more things. One is after my father died, I had in one of my scrapbooks a newsletter profile of my father from 1985 that he had given me in 1985. I never read it. I had it for 40-something years. I'd never read it. It profiled, it says, my father helped invent military drones. Military drones. Let's keep that in mind. So I have written proof. This is from his workplace, this newsletter. Here's the kicker. Last summer, Stephen Greer did a 3-hour press conference in Washington. In his press conference, Stephen Greer presented a slide that was the top 145 U.S. military bases in America that he has proof of through sworn testimony from whistleblowers that these 145 military bases were involved in, with reverse engineering of extraterrestrial vehicles, okay?
Mm-hmm.
145 military bases were listed. My father's workplace, Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, was number 51 on that list. So now we put the clues together. My father was an electronics engineer and a physicist. He worked for the Army for 45 years, top secret.
Mm-hmm.
My mother said he used to go to White Sands Missile Testing Range all the time. That I didn't know. He saw something top secret in the 50s. He came home. My mother said, "Your father was never the same." Stephen Greer proved that my father's workplace worked on reverse engineering craft. Richard Dolan has UFO sightings above Fort Monmouth. My father and I saw a UFO together in March 1970, and he was bored. He was bored to tears, and he winked at me. He winked at me. So we put all those things together. Then after he died, when I went to a deli sandwich, he gave me that home movie. And the home movie was, "Danny, I couldn't tell you what I did for a living when I was alive, but I'm dead now. I'm on the other side. I helped work on UFO drones for the military. I believe what we saw was a man-made military drone that my father was involved with using reverse engineer technology. I know it in my heart. I know it to be true."
Yeah. So so there's some truth to, it would seem, there's some truth to Philip Corso's book, The Day After Roswell, right?
I think so. According to him, yeah, I think it was Kevlar, right? Fiber optics, Kevlar. There were a few things that had been invented from that.
I can't think of them.
There's a few things that had been invented from that. Well, my dad, and people have said, "Dan, how come your dad never said anything?" My dad was, he once said, you know, I said, "Dad, you know, do you like your job?" He goes, "I'm a patriot. I helped America win the Cold War." My dad was a patriot. My dad was never going to talk about aliens or UFOs, even to my mother or my two younger brothers or me. And we were very close to him. It was not going to happen. He was not going to jeopardize his pension or his family safety or his life savings or anything. It just wasn't going to happen. So he died with that secret. But what's incredible, 3 days after he died, I get the home movie at the deli. And Steve Bassett thought it was an ET download. And I said, "Steven, I think it was my father from heaven."
One or the other, but
it was one or the other.
What difference really does it make? You got it. But I admire your dad for holding on to that secret. So let me ask you this: what do you think of David Grush coming forward with his testimony?
I think David's a hero. David should be there. Should be a parade in Fifth Avenue in New York for David Grush. He has the courage and the chutzpah to do what he did at his own personal risk.
Yeah.
He said he and his wife got, you know, death threats and people, you know, after he came out, he had a nervous breakdown years ago and he has mental illness. Leave it to our government to find one. You know, he stepped on a bug when he was four. Our government's going to just whatever dirt they can find to discredit someone.
Well, sir.
David Grush is a hero. There are many, many, many more of him. I know Danny Sheehan in Washington is working with Steve Bassett. They have, I think, 75 people ready to testify before Congress right now today. But they have to have legislation that would protect their safety, their finances, and allow them to speak freely without going to jail.
Well, there are whistleblower laws protecting.
They're not strong enough. Chuck Schumer in December sent a bill to our friends at the GOP and the House, and they killed it. The bill would have protected whistleblowers dramatically, and it would have said anyone in America who knows about crafts or bodies or technology, you are compelled to come forward and testify before Congress. You will be protected. Our little friends who know nothing about anything in the Congress, they said, "Oh, no, no, can't do this. No, we can't protect them. We can't have people come forward because aerospace companies back our campaigns. We can't do this."
Yeah, but how much do they know in Congress? I mean, you know?
It's not that they know or don't know. It's that the big Boeing and Lockheed and those, they contribute to these morons, to their campaigns. They contribute to the moron campaigns. And the morons in Congress aren't going to jeopardize their beloved money to tell the world about the biggest event in the history of mankind. No, they're too interested in their money.
Let me take one more moment to remind our listeners you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, and you're listening to We Are Not Alone. I'm David Twitchell, your host, and we're speaking with Mr. Dan Harari. And he is a publicist for many famous people, not only in UFO area, but for Hollywood stars. So now maybe you were sworn to secrecy about this. And if so, I promise not to tell anybody. But give us a few Hollywood big names who have claimed to have witnessed a UFO, or claim to have been abducted.
In the past 6 months, I've become good friends with Thomas Jane. Thomas Jane, J-A-N-E, he's a movie star. He was in 61. He was in Deep Blue Sea. He was in The Expanse. He was in The Vanished. He was in The Mist. He was in The Sweetest Thing. He's a good friend of mine. Mm. I interviewed him on my podcast a few weeks ago. And he had an experience 12 years ago in his home at 3 in the morning. He said he has insomnia. He was sleeping on the couch in his home. And he said at 12 in the morning, something entered his home and he had a profound encounter. And then he stopped. And I said, Thomas, I can't tell you the story. He goes, it's too disturbing. I can't tell you the story. Okay. There's one, Thomas Jane, for sure. He had something that he will not discuss. Mm-hmm. He said it shook me to my core.
So why did he bring it up in the first place?
Because my show is called Live from Hollywood. It's Paranormal Tonight. And he goes, Dan, you're going to make me tell the story, aren't you? I go, yeah, man. I go, this is a paranormal show. That's as far as he would go. He also had another story. When he was a kid, he was in the backseat of a car with his father and his grandfather. They were going fishing early, like at 4 or 5 or 4 in the morning somewhere, Montana. He was in the back of the car. It was dark. They were driving to go fishing. He said he looked up through the skylight of this car, and there was a UFO just following the car. And he said, and he's like to his father and his grandfather, they're in the front seat. He said, Dad, Grandpa, look, there's a UFO in front. There's a UFO following us. He said his father and his grandfather were turned off. They were like driving the car. They didn't react to him. They didn't talk to him. They just were like frozen. He said it was the weirdest thing. They were turned off. And I said, Thomas, it sounds like that UFO was just meant for you, you know, for you to see it, not for them. And he goes, that's exactly right. They were turned off. So Thomas, I know personally. Goldie Hawn last year came out. I've never met her, but she came out. She said in her 20s, she was asleep in a car. She woke up and an alien was touching her head with his finger. She said she felt love, God, peace, incredible comfort. She said it was a profound experience in her life. If you Google Goldie Hawn alien, you'll see that story. If you Google celebrities and aliens, there's a lot of people. Fran Drescher says she was abducted. I think she had a child that was taken, a fetus that was taken.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, other than Thomas, I know Dee Wallace, the mother of E.T. from the movie E.T.,
right.
The actress. Dee Wallace is one of my best friends. I think she's seen a few UFOs, but I don't think she's had like profound experiences. D is about how to achieve higher consciousness. And she's going to be speaking at Contact in the Desert through me. And she is going to teach people, if you attain a higher consciousness within yourself, you'll be open to communicating with other entities. She believes absolutely that ETs are real. And she said there's a way to communicate with them. So that's something that she's going to teach in her workshop at the conference. Spielberg, of course, worked with Dr. J. Allen Hynek on Close Encounters, with my all-time favorite movie. I've seen it 50 times. I cry every time. So there are people that know. There are people. Dan Aykroyd is very big into this field.
Yep.
We've been trying to get him to join the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance, and for whatever reason, we can't get him to join. I don't know why. Shirley MacLaine is a member of our Hollywood Disclosure Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
She's been talking about ETs since the 50s. She's been ahead of...
No.
She's the grandmother of disclosure, I think, Shirley MacLaine. I met her once years ago at a red carpet.
Yeah, she contacted me through her publicist and wanted me to give her both of them, a copy of my first book, which I did. And shame on them. They never wrote back and said, thank you. Liked it, didn't like it. You're going to hell or anything else.
Well, I'm friends with her assistant, Britt Elders. Do you know Britt Elders?
I really don't know the name.
I don't know Shirley's publicist, but her personal assistant is Britt Elders, who just emailed me this morning. If you need to get a message to Shirley, I could do that for you.
Okay, well,
I think she's 86, 88. You know, she's no spring chicken. God bless her. God bless her.
Well, when you this will air on the first Monday in May, so the 6th. Okay.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so can I just do a last plug kind of thing?
Yeah. Oh, we've got a few minutes left, but I just wanted to say, with this will air, and when it does, I'll send you a show reminder that it's going to air. You can pass it on to anybody you want.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the people who do the social media for Contact in the Desert, there's a woman named Jamie. She's a social media guru, so she'll promote it.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate you giving me this time. Let's just tell people, if you're able to get out to California, May 30th to June 3rd, contactinthedesert.com. Check out the speakers. There are just remarkable people, really. George Norrie and George Knapp will be together on stage for the first time ever. It's called the Meet the Two Georges. Meet George and George. They've never done a show together. They've been friends 30 years, but they've never done a live show together, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance panel, which is Thomas Jane, Dee Wallace, Dave Foley, who's a famous comic actor, Steve Bassett, and two award-winning UFO documentary filmmakers, Serena DC and Michael Mazzola. Michael works with Stephen Greer, so they'll be on my panel. We have the Legends of Ufology. Richard Dolan is going to get a Legend Award. Linda Moulton Howe, Russell Targ, I think Whitley Strieber, other people are going to get, you know, Living Legend Awards. It's going to be really quite a remarkable show. I'll be running. It's funny, David, I have two hats. Talk about hats. I have two completely separate hats for me personally. I will be running the press room during the whole show, which is at the top of a very tall staircase. Mm-hmm. And at the bottom of the very tall staircase, it will be my Hollywood Disclosure Alliance booth. Now, I'm in charge of both things. So I'm trying to lose weight. I'm trying to get in shape because I'm going to be up and down that staircase for 6 days, 50 times a day. I'm going to be back and forth.
You'll take the elevator or the,
I'm not sure that there is one. I hope there is, but if not, I'm going to know that staircase really, really well.
I guess.
So, and then as far as my books go, Dan Harary, author, Dan, H-A-R-A-R-Y, author.com. All my books are up there, my existing books, the two books I have coming out in June, my bio, lots of fun photos of me with Steven Spielberg and Jerry Seinfeld and Mel Brooks and Alice Cooper and Hugh Hefner and Steve Allen and Milton Berle and Sid Caesar and all the people I've worked with. It's really...
This goes back.
Yeah. Well, I've been a publicist for 40 years. Over 40 years.
Yeah.
You know, over 40 years. So Dan Harary, author.com, contactinthedesert.com. The last thing I'd like to plug is HollywoodDisclosureAlliance.org. We are a very interesting group. Half of our members work in Hollywood, which means the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
The other half are UFO and ET experiencers, researchers, or disclosure advocates like Steve Bassett. And it's a networking group. I call it Match.com for the UFO community. We are, through our website and our organization, and we're a 501c3 nonprofit, by the way, we are matchmaking people with remarkable stories with Hollywood producers, writers, and directors who want to generate the next era of feature films, TV shows, and documentaries. And we've only existed since November, and it's been very successful. And I think we'll have 200 members by the end of this year. Shirley MacLaine, Dee Wallace, Thomas Jane, Dave Foley, our Hollywood people, Nick, who's who on the other side, Richard Dolan, Nick Pope, Steve Bassett, Carolyn Corey, George Norrie, Jason Martell, Whitley Strieber, Linda Moulton Howe. It's endless. So it's a remarkable group. Check that out, HollywoodDisclosureAlliance.org. And if you'd be so kind, there's a nice little donate button on that website. Mm-hmm. Feel free to donate so we can move the disclosure movement forward.
Really? Well, very good. But I wanted to ask you briefly about Live from Hollywood. It's paranormal tonight. You already
sure.
mentioned, but do you have both actors and ufologists on there?
That's exactly right, David. That's so funny. So last year when I was promoting my book After They Came, I think I did 150 podcasts around the world. One of them was with, do you know the name Margie Kay? Do you know Margie Kay, K-A-Y?
Right now.
Margie Kay was the head of MUFON St. Louis, Missouri. She, 2 years ago, she launched the UNX network, mm-hmm. which is a digital broadcasting network for all paranormal shows. She has 30 shows on her network. Mm-hmm. Whitley Strieber has a show there. Peter Robbins has a show there. Other very well-known people in paranormal. I don't include myself in that list because I'm a new kid on the block.
But I see.
She interviewed me last year for my book. Very nice. We bonded. And then a few months later, she said, Dan, you're a Hollywood publicist. Can you, would you like to do PR for the UNX Network, my channel? I said, Margie, instead of you paying me a fee for my PR, why don't you give me a podcast instead? I said, I have a dream to be a podcaster. She goes, done. She goes, what do you want? This is one email. What do you want to call it? I said, how about Live from Hollywood? It's paranormal tonight. She goes, perfect. So she gave me a podcast. I launched my show January 11th this year. My first guest was Dee Wallace, my dear friend from the mother from E.T., mm-hmm. one of my best friends. And like to answer your question, my second show was Stephen Bassett. And then I had friends who, my friend who won an Oscar for the movie Beetlejuice. And then wow. I had Nick Pope, you know. Then I have Thomas Jane, the movie star. And then I have Lynn Kitai from the Phoenix Lights. I've been telling people this recently. I'm a unicorn in that. I'm the only one of my kind. I am Hollywood and ufology. I have 43 years of Hollywood and 1 year of ufology, but I'm like chocolate and peanut butter. I'm the only one of my kind. There is no other me who straddles both sides of this world. Mm. So when I showed up in the last year and created Hollywood Disclosure Alliance, I became Dan. Yeah. Everyone. I became known, and now I'm sort of like, and I'm the publicist for Contact in the Desert. So I'm like a hub. I'm not bragging at all. I'm just because I wanted to be a comedy writer my whole life. But I've become the hub of ufology in Hollywood. I'm literally the hub. I get emails every day from people around the world. I have a new book. I have a script. I have a TV show, Aliens. I tell my daughter my life revolves around aliens. It's unbelievable.
A little bit of paranormal.
Well, yeah. Well, my book, My Paranormal Life, June 10th. Mm-hmm. After my father passed, I told you the story about that right. download, but my dad came to me in my bedroom 3 or 4 times after he passed as a ghost mm-hmm. and communicated with me. My grandfather, 20 years ago, my grandfather was a poltergeist in my house. I have proof of him being a poltergeist. Mm-hmm. I've had angelic voices whispering things in my ears that came true. I've had literal light bulb moments, literally had an idea and felt a light bulb over my head of an idea I had that I then made come true. So remarkable things that then came true. So I've had these experiences since I'm 5 years old. So that's that book.
So that's a podcast. Where do you go again? Where does one go for that podcast?
Oh, the THE space UNX space network. The UNX network. It's a little clumsy.
Very good. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but Mr. Dan Harari, I want to thank you so much for joining us for And We Are Not Alone.
Thank you so much. This was a lot of fun, man. I really appreciate it. Maybe we can do some more.
I hope so.
If you want to talk about ghosts and goblins, I have
Yes.
stories for you about in my other with my other book.
Very good. Okay, thanks again. Talk to you later.
Thanks, David. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I want to thank you, the loyal listener. Go to WHFR's homepage, scroll down to We Are Not Alone, and click on the headline, which will take you to where you can find my website with all the archive shows. Or click on the Talk Shows button, then the We Are Not Alone button for the latest show archives. And please join me the first Monday of each month at 2 p.m. when we will again explore the mysteries of the UAP phenomenon. And until then, this is David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio.
Guys and dolls, you are at the malt shop with Daddy G, and we're going back to the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rear view mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and head on down to the malt shop where the jukebox is playing, the kids are dancing, and here we are back in the 50s.
Blue moon, you saw me standing alone.